Good morning, everybody. Good morning, those that are listening online. It is Easter Sunday, April 21st, 2019, and we're talking about a promise kept. See, the problem with starting without you and then trying to start over again is I don't remember part of what I said. Which is the good news. The good news is I don't have this all pre-planned and worked out. I have the scriptures. That's what I have. And I have what God feeds me. But I want to talk about God keeping His Word. Here we are looking out, recognizing that this year we have Easter coinciding with Passover. Now, if you looked at the Jewish calendar, you see that Passover moves because most years on the Jewish calendar have 12 months. And then every once in a while, not every once in a while, there's a regular period, which I don't remember at the moment. But then there's 13 months because all the months have 30 days. So Passover moves because Passover is a day of the month. And Easter moves because as we celebrate it in the non-Orthodox part of the world, there are non-Orthodox churches, Easter is the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox, which kind of translates to celebrating spring, which is part of why we have bunnies and eggs. It's also one of those holidays that was celebrated before Jesus came along with bunnies and eggs, fertility rites, that sort of thing. But this is the day that we have set aside to recognize as Resurrection Sunday, remembering what Jesus did on our behalf. And I contend that each and every day we should celebrate the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because we have no place in the throne room of God except for the fact that through Him we enter in with our sins covered, our sins pardoned. We come before Him as though we justified, as though we had not sinned. We come before the throne of God as sons and daughters of God, where we can cry out, Abba, Father. But this is all God's promise that was put in place before the foundation of the world. In Isaiah 9, beginning with verse 6, some around 700 years before Jesus was born, says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase in his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We look at this scripture and we see that the Father made these promises. And we know that Jesus was born and he lived a perfect sinless life. He went to the cross, falsely accused. He was nailed to a tree, nailed to the cross, nailed to the boards, to the limbs, the cross pieces. Nailed there and died. All these things that he did, he fulfilled scripture and rose again the third day. As we look around us, we know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is going forth throughout all the world. There are maybe places that the gospel hasn't got to yet. But the gospel is going forth. The gospel is going forth on radio. John was talking earlier about listening on shortwave. So it's going out on shortwave radio. It's going out on AM radio, FM radio. It's going out in podcasts. It's going out in these different methods. It's going out in gospel tracts. It's going out just pretty much any way the word can get out. fulfilling what God has said. So of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. We look around, we don't see a lot of peace. But we can look at the scripture and see promises that God has made. God has sent his Savior. He has sent his Son to do and to redeem men from destruction. Men and women. He has sent that. God is keeping his word. You find prophecies of Jesus as far back as the beginning, as early in Genesis. Remember, after they sinned in the garden, where God said to the serpent that you would bruise, the serpent would bruise the woman's seed's head, but he would bruise your bruise his heel, but he would bruise your head. Prophecy there. Prophecy when they talk about when Jacob is talking to his sons and giving the blessings to his sons. He said, "In Judah, the scepter for ruling will not depart until Shiloh comes." That's peace personified. Until the Savior comes. So God has made promises all through Scripture. Here in Isaiah, he talks about this child being born and son given for a purpose. "The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." He'll send a Savior. He'll send perfection. Later on in Isaiah 53, talking about this same Savior that is to come. He's referred to in Isaiah 53 as the suffering servant. Isaiah 53, beginning with verse 3, says, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. For he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Remember when Jesus was arrested in the garden after he had told Peter, "Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times"? "No, Lord, I'll never do that." And he's taken, and he's taken before the Sanhedrin. He's taken before the chief priests and the rulers. And then he's beaten. And then they take him to Pilate. And the soldiers beat him and spit upon him and plucked out his beard. And all of his disciples left. Peter was there, watching, but when they confronted Peter, he denied it to the point where he cursed. Says he cursed, "I don't know him." He was despised and rejected of men. 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophecy went forth. God's promise came out. These things are going to happen. But it's for a purpose. As we look in the world around us, we see turmoil on every side. But we have light in us because of who Jesus is and what he's done in our lives. I praise God I am not the person that I used to be. Amen. I can always get an amen from my wife on that one. Each and every one of us, the path that we have walked, had it not been for the sovereign hand of an almighty God, anything short of burning in hell is the tender mercies of God. We understand that, right? Because we know what we deserve. We know who we were. We broke God's law. Without a Savior, there is no redemption. Without a, without somebody paying the penalty, there is no hope. There is no way to stand before a holy God. Yet because of Jesus, because of what he has done on our behalf, our sins are paid for. Not that they were swept under the rug, not that they were ignored. The penalty was paid. That's what was promised. In Hebrews, it refers to Jesus being a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before ever anything was. The Father looked down through the pages of time. He knew about the sin in the garden. He knew about the sin you committed last time, whenever last time was. He knew about all of it. And sent a way of escape. He sent a, had to put a plan in place to pay for that sin. In John 10, beginning with verse 17, Jesus is talking. Here we are, we just fast forwarded 700 years and change. Jesus talking says, "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again, take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it up, take it again. This command I have received from my Father." In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prays, says, "Father, if there is another way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Lord, given the choice, Father, given the choice, I don't want to go through this. But if there's no other way, I am willing to do what you've sent me to do. He also says in the garden, he says, "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this very cause, I came to this hour." Jesus knew what was coming. He knew about the betrayal of Judas. He knew what was in the heart of men. He knew Peter was going to deny him. He told Peter. He told them at the dinner, "One of you is the devil." Said, "One of you will betray me." He knew who it was. But he didn't say, "See Judas over there? He's the one." He said, "One of you will." Because it wasn't about pointing out someone else's faults. It wasn't about pointing out someone else's sins. It was about doing the things that needed to be done. Fulfilling the promise that had been put in place. John 14, beginning with verse 19. Says, "A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. And because I live, you will live also. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." We see God's hands manifested in our brothers and sisters. Sometimes we see it in our own self, the things that God is doing, that touching the hearts and lives of people. Because of the relationship that He established. As we live our new life in Christ Jesus. What does it say in Romans? "The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." This new life. Praise God, we're not the people that we used to be. God fulfilling His promises to redeem our lives from destruction, to give us life. As it says in Jeremiah, "I know the plans that I think toward you, to give you a hope and a future." God has plans and purposes for our lives. We're here for a reason. We are here to make an impact. Not for our own benefit or our own selves, but make an impact for the kingdom. To touch and to change, and people's hearts may be touched and changed. That lives may be redeemed. That people can come to know the Lord. That's why we're here. We are here as ambassadors of Christ. As ambassadors of Christ, as representatives of God in the world around us. How many times, though, do we get wrapped up in our own understanding? Do we get wrapped up in our own ways? But God has called us to be the light to this generation. If we weren't supposed to be lights to this generation, we wouldn't be in this generation. You get that, right? The God who formed us together in our mother's womb, who knows everything about us, all of our days are written in the book before ever any of them were, who directs our steps, who guides us, who is able to make us to stand. All of these things the Bible tells us. If this is the wrong place in the wrong time, why would a God who can do all of that have us here in the first place? So the fact that we are here, that we are breathing air, that we are interacting with people, means God has a plan and purpose in the midst of that interaction. We are to shed our lights abroad that all may see. We are to reach out and encourage people, to reach out and help people. We are to be lights in the midst of darkness. In order to be lights in the midst of darkness, first off, you have to show your light, and second off, there has to be darkness. Guess what? There's plenty of darkness. Are we showing our lights? Are we reaching out? Are we doing what we've been called to do? What we've been redeemed to do? You know, if looking down through the pages of time, God has said, boy, these people are going to mess up. They're going to sin. They're going to be so wicked. And I'm going to send them a Savior. And every last one of them is going to turn their back on them. In our understanding, we might wonder why he'd even do that. But that's not what he saw. It is not his will that any should perish. You've heard people say, if you were the only one who accepted Jesus, Jesus would have died on a cross for you. Each and every one of us. Because he loved us so much, his arms were outstretched for that purpose. But not just for us, but for the people around us as well. Our family members, our neighbors, our enemies, or our opposition, because they're not our enemy. We don't wrestle against, I keep going, bouncing back and forth between that. But the people that get on your last nerve and decide to do a tap dance on it. We get people like that. People that are just confrontational. Whatever the situation is. We are called to be lights. To show what Jesus did to the world around us. We show that by displaying a life that puts God at the center. We show that by walking in the newness of life. By not being satisfied by being who we used to be. So Jesus said, I lay down my life, and in a little while, you won't see me anymore, or the world won't see me, but you will see me because I will be in you. We can see God at work in our lives. I praise God for that. I praise God every day for the changes he's done in my life. I praise God every day that at my lowest, he didn't leave me there. But he lifted me up. He reached out to me. If no one can come to Jesus unless the Holy Spirit, unless the Father draw them, which means if you came to Jesus, the Father reached out to you. We praise God for that. Praise God for the things that he's done, and recognize that if he can reach out to somebody as messed up as me, there's nobody he can't reach. So we need to have a heart that reaches out to other people to show them God's love. Doesn't mean we wink and sin. Doesn't mean we turn our back on things. It means we stand in righteousness. Does anybody know how the Secret Service trains people to look for counterfeit bills? Show them the real thing and have them study it. And as they study the real thing, it becomes very, very easy to pick out the counterfeits because they're not quite right. If we want people to see Jesus, let's start walking like Jesus. In those areas where we fall, and don't get me wrong, I understand that we all fall. James said we all stumble in many ways. But if we get back up, we repent, and we keep going, people can see consistency, a consistent heart that reaches out, a consistent kindness. Like I said, we're not going to be perfect. Not yet. Or actually, I say that, but I have this hope. Because if Jesus says, be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect, I don't think he'd give us a command and not make a way to fulfill it. My question is, are we content just to say, well, nobody's ever perfect, so we stop trying? Or do we continue to say, Lord, continue to change me. Father, continue to make me more like Jesus. Because we can't do it on our own strength. We can't obey the law on our own strength. We can't walk righteously before a heavenly God, a holy God, in our own strength. But through him, he continues to change us. He continues to mold us. He continues to show his grace and love in us. So Jesus went to a cross. He was crucified. On the cross, he said such things as, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He said to the one thief, "This day you will be with me in paradise." He said, "It is finished." When it was getting closer in the afternoon, getting close to dark, they were afraid that they wouldn't have time to get the bodies down off the cross prior to the Sabbath, being that Passover Sabbath, being that high holy day, not just a holy day, but a high holy day. So they went around and they stuck a spear in his side just to make sure he was dead. He was pierced for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. They put him in the grave. I was reading something the other day. Somebody was reading something. I think probably Wednesday night. Somebody read it Wednesday night. Talked about Jesus being wrapped with 70 pounds of spices. That's a lot of spice. Wrapped up with 70 pounds of spices. Put in the grave. Put in the tomb. Stone rolled in front of the tomb. A seal put upon it. Guards put upon it. Matthew 28, beginning with verse 1, says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he is going before you into Galilee. Therefore, there you will see him. Behold, I have told you.'" As he told you, he would rise. We read it back in John. "I lay down my life, no one takes it from me. I lay it down, and I have the ability to take it back up again. I have this command from my Father. I can lay it down, and I can pick it up." He did it on our behalf. Again, fulfilling a promise. But also with fulfilling the promise, we need to go back to Isaiah 53. Remember, 700 years before Christ was born. As we read about him being wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities and the chastisement of our peace being upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We read that before. Now we drop down a little bit farther in the chapter. We go to verse 10, where it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." It says, when you claim Jesus' soul, Jesus' suffering, what he went through as a sacrifice for your sin, the Heavenly Father looks down and sees Jesus standing in our stead. 700 years before he was born, the Father said, "I am going to send my suffering servant who is going to pay the price for everything." We're here to celebrate today a promise kept, that we can claim his soul, claim what Jesus did on our behalf as a sacrifice for the sin that we have faced, the sin we have committed. As we're all Christians here, as we all understand this, this is not anything new. But this is something to celebrate that God gave His promises years and years and years before it ever came to pass. But God keeps His Word, and as God has kept His Word in this, and as God continues to keep His Word in so many other aspects of our life, as we see God's promises in the Bible, as we see God's promises throughout His Word, we can stand on that because God keeps His Word. We read just the other day, I'm related to my dad. You know, you have today, yesterday, the day before, and anything else is the other day. And the other day can be 40 years ago. But I was saying just the other day that you ever get sidetracked and stay sidetracked? Saying just the other day that as we have the promises from God, we can stand on them. God continues to keep His Word. As we look in the Scripture, I know where I was going, talking about who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand because God is able to make him to stand. And that's one thing when we look at it and we're talking about something else. It's an entirely different matter when we read that Scripture and realize it applies to us too. That God is able to make us stand. God is able to help us stand. God is able to lift us up. He is able to set our feet upon the solid rock. He is able to direct our steps. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in His ways. Back in Proverbs, we read that. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His mighty hand. We look at the promises of God in the Scripture, and we have this confidence in that God keeps His promises. We look at Resurrection Sunday as a promise kept. That is not the only promise in the Bible. That is not the only promise to guide our steps as we go along. God loves you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. He has something wonderful in mind for you. No matter what the circumstances look like, He hasn't forgotten about us. He is continuing to work in us. He is continuing to direct our steps. He continues to have a plan and purpose. The person who crosses your path and gets on your nerves, praise God, maybe that's an opportunity to smile at them and encourage them. Maybe it's an opportunity just to be the only person they've ever met who didn't cuss them out. We don't know. But we know that God is doing some wondrous things. So when we look around, we recognize that God keeps His promises. And He's made the promises of salvation. As He made the promise here in Isaiah that we could claim Jesus' suffering as a payment for our sin, that God would look down and see Jesus in our stead. 700 years before He was born. Or the promise that Jesus was coming as far back as the Garden of Eden. God keeps His Word. And we can stand upon that and recognize that no matter what comes up in our circumstances, no matter what's going on around us, God is at work in it. None of it's a mistake, none of it's an accident, and none of it surprised God. And if He's promised to watch over and keep us, we are invincible until God says our time here is up. Doesn't mean it's always going to be pleasant. The old song, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. Doesn't mean it's always going to be pleasant. Doesn't have to be, because our life here is very, very temporary. But God is doing some wondrous things. And God has a plan and purpose for our heart and our lives in this life and in eternity. And God keeps His Word. Father, we come before You and we give glory and praise and thanks that Your promises are yea and amen. That as You've declared it, You will certainly bring it to pass. We thank You, Father, for this reminder on Resurrection Sunday that You keep Your promises, You keep Your Word. And we thank You, Father, that as You direct our steps and as You lead and guide our steps, You are the one who lifts us up. You are the one who makes us to stand in righteousness. You impart the righteousness of Jesus to impute the righteousness of Jesus to us and also direct us as we walk through this life. You are the one who guides our steps. You are the one who allows things to come into our lives. You are the one, Father, who continues to mold and shape us, that we be lights and witnesses in the world around us. Father, we commit our hearts and lives to You again, fresh this morning, that You be glorified in us, that as we walk through this life, Lord, You use us for your glory. You direct us for your glory. You speak through us for your glory. You activate our hands and feet for your glory. And we give you all of the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.